right, we are back. Lamp Stomp is back. And this time, it's not just a pod telling you about what we're doing. We are actually going to be watching a movie right now, here in a few minutes. This is the Toy Story commentary track. And so I kind of gave a brief explanation of what we are going to be doing on the last pod, but I'll do it again here in a much more shorter fashion. Essentially, I'm going to be watching the movie in real time and giving my commentary as we go. I am not like a huge Pixar like historian. I don't know all the ins and outs about how the movie's made or anything. I just love these movies and I love and enjoy watching them. And so that's exactly what I'm going to be doing today. And so, like I said, today we are going to be watching Toy Story 1. It's the movie that started it all. I'm really excited to kind of dig in and watch this movie again. It's been a while since I've watched Toy Story. Funny enough, my daughter, she really loves Toy Story 3. And so I've watched Toy Story 3 a lot recently. But Toy Story 1, I've not really watched in quite some time. And so I'm excited to dig back in. This pod is already going to be an hour and a half long because that's how long the movie is. And so why don't we just go ahead, get ready. I'll give you a second. You can pause if you need to. And I'm on Disney Plus. I'm going to press play here in just a second. I'll tell you when. I'll give you a countdown. And if you want to watch this with me, you're more than welcome to with me in the background. That'd be kind of fun, I think. But even if you want to just listen to this as a pod and just be like, oh, yeah, that's what happened in that movie at that time, that works as well. And so why don't we just go ahead and give it a try? I am on Disney Plus. I'm at 0000 on the time, and I will press play in 3, 2, 1. Let's go. I know it's probably a little cliche, but I get cold chills sometimes when watching this opening, just because of what it means. The castle for all Disney movies, obviously, and the dream music there, the fireworks, it's pretty cool. And for those of you, I'm hoping if you've been a Lamp Stomp listener before, you will probably realize that this is the Lamp Stomp that we are referring to when we are talking about Lamp Stomp, our podcast name. Chills. This play scene is so pivotal to my childhood. This is a stick up. One-eyed Bart. So funny. Although I guess he's not one-eyed Bart right now. Oh, I remember here in just a second. Billy Goat and Gruff there. Andy is such a good player, and I don't mean that in the 21st century way. He's just so good at caring for each of his toys. Each one of them has a job. Each one of them is important. Obviously, Woody's his favorite until Buzz kind of comes in, but he's so good at playing. Built-in force field. Of course, the dinosaur eats force field dogs, so there's that. The wife and tater tots. Molly is kind of creepy. I think she does not look very good in this movie. And obviously, You've Got a Friend in Me is super duper awesome and important. Randy Newman's music is as much Pixar as I can imagine. You're miles and miles from your nice warm bed. I won't sing the whole song. RC was such a cool car back in the day. I had one of those that I think looked similar to that. And then when I was a little bit older, I had like an RC car that was like super high. I think it maybe even took gas, which is pretty cool. This is something Josh and I talked about, and we can talk more about it in the next movie as well. But it's kind of funny to me that Andy doesn't have Woody's hat. He actually has Jessie's hat, the red hat with the white The white on top. I when I was little, I tried to do the whole flip a toy by doing the recliner. That might have gotten me in trouble at one point. Happy birthday, Andy. Those are some 90s pants Andy's mom had on just then. What do you think the other toys were doing during this? Were they just kind of chilling? I guess Molly's still in there, so they had to be. Woody's phrases are so iconic. The early birthday party right before you move. It'll get them every time. The scene coming up is one of my favorites in the movie. Just figuring out all the toys moving without Andy. Potato Head obviously has some great lines here. Ham's pretty good. Picasso, you uncultured swine. It's probably what this is going to mainly be, me talking about all the great lines. Mr. Potato Head has some really good lines, and like, I really think they added a whole lot to Mr. Potato Head by giving him Mrs. Potato Head, and even the aliens in the later movies. That's pretty cool. There's just such a wealth of characters in these movies, because like, even just thinking about this movie, I can think of so many different side characters that are so important to the film, like Slinky Dog, so good. Even the side characters, like those two, are really important. Etch-a-Sketch is kind of cool right now. Rex, Bo Peep, everybody is just so cool and so important to everything that's going on. I wonder why Rex was trying to or wanting to be so scary. It's kind of funny. I think one of the advertisement for the time was "I'm a nervous Rex," and that's just so funny. I have a really hard time believing that this Bo Peep is the same exact one from Toy Story 4. Also, that line's really weird. A couple of blocks away is pretty funny. I think one of the funniest things about this scene right here as well is that, like, it's not just that toys are alive and have their own, like, they come alive when you're not in the room, but, like, it's they have meetings and they have committees and and all of that, which is just so funny. All the books in the back are really good, like Tin Toy, Knick Knack. A moving buddy. Who wants to be my moving buddy? So they're going to keep those decorations up for 1 week, because they're going to be 1 week. So the course of this movie goes over about a week, because they move in 1 week. Plastic erosion awareness. Oh, it's so funny. They move to today. It's so funny, like, all the different concepts that they came up with as far as, like, a birthday party is terrifying for toys, because if you're not a favorite toy, like Mr. Potato just said, like, if you're not a favorite toy, you could literally be kicked out of the room. You could be, like, not a part of what's going on anymore. This could be detrimental to everything that you're doing. No one's getting replaced except for his favorite toy. That is the most important sentence of the whole entire series, I think, is what's important is we're here for Andy when he needs us. I really do think that they will build off of that. That is Woody's entire, like, that's exactly who Woody is. He is so loyal and so there for Andy, and he will always be there for when he needs us. And that's why I think that Toy Story 4 is so frustrating me at times, but the visual gag of the small looking present but turning sideways is pretty funny. The Green Army Men going down for the party is pretty funny. Yes, sir. Like, other toys can't be around humans, obviously, but these army men, like, they're laying their life on the line to go and try to be recon for the birthday party. I love the walkie-talkie, too. It's so good. The decor in this house is interesting. The old Western painting on the wall, the red and green fleur-de-lis. Is that what you call them? Fleur-de-lis, I think. Yeah. I love all the scuffs on the wall as well. The details that were put in this movie, even for like the first Pixar movie, you can tell that a lot of love went into making this movie. The toys waiting with bated breath on, like, oh, what's the new toys gonna be? What's happening? Also, this army man getting stepped on is so funny too, because like I'm sure she has told him to pick those up, and they were there earlier, but they're still there. Having a kid, I know that toys are just gonna be everywhere. And the toys taking on the personality of the thing that they are is pretty cool, too. Like, you got to think, like, the army men being real army men, and, like, this is a mission, and a good soldier never leaves a man behind, just like what he just said. Like, them taking on that personality is really interesting to me. There's the famous Pixar ball. It's such an icon. Where's the other adults? Did the kids' parents just kind of drop them off at the house and they're just there at the birthday party? I guess that's possible. But how old is Andy, I wonder? Probably, I wonder how old he's turning, like 8 or 9 maybe? I wonder, what is the volume of which the Mr. Potato Head wishing for Mrs. Potato Head's really funny. The volume that the toys speak at. Obviously, later on in the movie, he can be heard. Andy, or Woody can be heard. Who invited that kid? So funny. Like, who did bring bed sheets to a kid's birthday party? Like, what is that all about? Them just being terrifying. Battleship. So good. Old Spudhead's a pretty good name for Ham. Ham's got some pretty good one-liners on the way as well. Uh-oh. One more surprise. What could it be? The anticipation must be killing them. Of course that kid's in the way. Only the coolest toy ever. Of course Rex would mess up. Them trying to put back in the batteries. Like, of course they don't know how to use batteries. Uh-oh, here comes the toys. Red alert. The sheer panic that must be going on. Like, why is it such a big deal that he doesn't have his ear? Are they going to think, oh no, my Mr. Potato definitely had an ear earlier? Like, no, Andy's never going to think that. They could probably get away with a lot more than what they're trying to think they could. Oh, there's Zurg. Oh, that hurts. Pushing Woody off the bed. Like, why did Andy's mom ever even let them run upstairs? Like, why was that even an option? If she was just going to call him right back down. I like the Mickey Mouse clock up there on the wall. It gives me questions about how and what kind of world this is. Is this like our world, just that toys can talk? Or is this like a completely and separate world? Yeah, just a mistake. No one's getting replaced. Which is interesting that that's happened, because obviously toys have been replaced. Andy's not taking little baby toys anymore. And so, like, that is a concept that has been introduced into the room. I'm going to be honest, Buzz is such a cool toy. Like, I know that's the whole point of the movie, but, like, the buttons, the laser, the wings, all of it. I did, and still do, love having a Buzz toy. I want to talk for a second about the voices, too. Buzz's voice kind of just reminded me that all the voices for this movie is so good. Like, they fit just so perfectly. Buzz's delusion in these movies is so fun. Like, he fully commits to the bit of being a space ranger, which makes the Lightyear movie all that more funny. Like, that's what it was going off of, and it's just kind of funny. No sign of intelligent life anywhere. But it's just not stopping with the laser is hilarious. Space Ranger. It's his spot. Buzz is just so funny. Like, he's just asking the most ridiculous question. He's nervous about everybody. He's Andy's toys. Lightyear. So glad you're not a dinosaur. This is so good. He reads the part on the box. It's so good. Like, the toys being super impressed just adds so much layers to this movie. Like, it's not just Andy that's given up on Woody, but it's like the whole room is kind of like, isn't Buzz a lot cooler than Woody? Like, isn't this so much awesome? Like, aren't we so glad that Buzz is in the room now? Yeah, this is the part that I was talking about. He's just reading exactly what's on the box. That's so funny. I'm from Playstool. I'm from Mattel. Rex is so funny, man. Why don't you have a laser, Woody? Mr. Potato Head has some jokes that are like right on the line of kids' movies, like that are put there for the adults in the room. It's so funny. Preschool toys present. This ranger. The flying that is coming is so good. The wings. He's such a cool toy. I can't blame Andy for enjoying a little Buzz Lightyear action. Like I would definitely play with Buzz right now. Although when I was young, I was a Woody enjoyer. I have pictures of me really being Woody way back in the day, and I was all in about me some Woody. And I was Woody for Halloween for a few years, and I think I told this story on one of the other So Good to Infinity and Beyond. He bounces off. I'll give a play-by-play on the car track. He goes around the loop, flies up into the air, gets on the model airplane that's going around, which goes around in circles. Which makes him feel like he's fly. He's like justified because the first time he tries it, he literally does fly around the room. And so it's so good. What I was saying earlier is that like when I was young, I wanted to be Woody for Halloween. And I got a black eye about something. I can't remember. I hurt my eye on something. And I was crying about how like Woody doesn't have a black eye. And so I was a Woody enjoyer for sure. This is something I talked about in the review podcast a while back, and I think it really shows itself throughout the movie, is that like Woody is so different in this movie compared to what he is in some of the other ones. Like jealousy and envy don't look good on Woody, really. He says mean things, he acts in a way that's kind of rude and mean. I get it, I guess. I get him not being played with is probably a big deal when he was the it toy for the longest time. And so seeing your whole life change in the way that his is it would be hard for sure. Like the pictures on the wall, the bed covers like it's showing now, and like all your friends, all the best friends would rather hang out with this new guy other than you. It's gotta hurt. Even Etch, man. All of the like licensed toys that are like super Rex not having any weight on his is super funny. All the licensed toys that they were able to get for these movies is so awesome. Like it really makes it feel legit when you see an Etch-a-Sketch. You see the little troll dolls. You see all kinds of different toys walking around that are like actual legit toys. Kind of makes the world feel a little bit more real. God, that's a tough choice. Puts Woody in the toy box and sleeps with Buzz. Buzz wouldn't even be that good to sleep with. He's hard and like, yeah, that wasn't a very good choice. Things. Music in these movies are so good. Like something we talked about, Randy Newman writes songs that wouldn't fit in the normal context, but in the world of the movie, it's so good. This is one of my favorite parts of the movie. I think it's so funny. Howdy, howdy, howdy. It's so funny. I don't know why Mr. Shark is so funny in that moment. That's something I want to do with my daughter, and I haven't done that yet, is like writing the name on the bottom. I just think that is such a fun thing that Andy does in the movies, and like I've not done that with my daughter, but I think that would be special just because of the Toy Story world, and her liking Toy Story 3 would make it special. kind of a funny line there with Mr. Potato Head kind of mentioning the attic, which is such a big part of Toy Story 3 there. I think there's something so good about, talk about this more in the second one, I think, but just like belonging is so important to the toys here, and it's so important in life too. Hope that everybody listening here has a place that they feel like they belong. Woody has to learn that just being in a spot is enough. You don't have to necessarily be Andy's toy. Just being Andy's toys and belonging in that is the most important. I think that's really cool. It is wild how different Buzz is from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. Tom Hanks and Tim Allen were literally born and bred for these roles. Obviously, they do a lot of awesome things and are great in a lot of different roles, but I can't think of these two characters without thinking about those two actors. And so Sid is such a good like foil in this movie, because he's not like, I wouldn't call him like necessarily the villain of the movie per se. Obviously a kid blowing up toys is a villain in a toy movie, but like, he's not like the ultimate villain. Like he doesn't even really have that big of a like impact on most of the toys, but he's such a great foil and kind of drives forward so much of the movie. Scud is so ugly. I pray that no one watching or hearing my voice right now knows a Sid, a crazy maniacal kid like that. But see, that's what I don't understand. Like, in that moment, he was ready and willing to go and teach Sid a lesson, but he also hides from Andy when Andy comes into the room. So like, kaboom. So like, what is the rules, and why do toys have to hide when they see people coming? And so it's definitely a really interesting part of this world. Like, later on, I think Woody mentions, like, we got to break some rules. That's something Josh mentioned in our pod. Like, who set the rules? Like, why is there rules? I think that's something, too, that is interesting. And I just now, okay, this is a brand new thought, and it is something that I'm just realizing while I'm watching this movie right now. In the Toy Story 3 pod, I talked about how the toys really take on the personality of Andy. Basically, what they think of him is how they react. Just a second ago, we saw Woody being like the bad guy and Buzz being the good guy, saving and like protecting and fighting Woody. And so like, in this movie, Buzz is the good guy and Buzz is the hero. And so like, that's how Buzz is acting in the movie. And I'm guessing in some of the play sessions that Woody goes from being the ultimate hero in the play sessions to just now, Buzz was fighting Woody. And so if Buzz is the good guy, Woody is the bad guy. And in Woody's brain, Andy is now thinking of him as not the hero. Is that why Woody is acting strange, I'll say, or worse in this movie than he does in the other ones? I don't know. I've not really bought into that theory quite as much, but I think there's some merit to it. Like, if Andy is playing with Woody in a different way, that would cause him to react and play in a different way. So, I don't know. Maybe that's, there's something to that. Mr. Potato Head being kind of angry and leading the charge against what he is an interesting part of his character. Do Molly and Andy share a room in this house, or is it just because they're moving, they kind of put things in? And what parent, like a few days before they're about to move, would not have so many toys in box? Well, I guess those toys are in a box. So maybe he's kind of playing out of boxes. Maybe that's the case. But Deadhead's got a good point there, honestly. Like, although I think Woody wanted him to be lost behind the desk, not necessarily outside the door. So I guess that's not really a super great point. Like, how could he be sad about bringing Woody? Andy's mom's kind of brutal. Like, losing a toy like they do in this movie, I'm pretty sure if Emery had a toy that she was so bummed about losing, I would buy that toy again for her in, like, a moment. I'm sure Carly, my wife, would not like that, but I feel like I would. The whole barrel of monkeys. Like, I feel like Buzz would have talked to them had he actually been down there. It's so funny. Dinoco! So good. This gas station scene. This is the scene of the movie for me. From the moment they pull in to the moment they find the Pizza Planet truck here in just a second, it is so good. Why does Andy do that? It's so good. His whole life is like just upended, and Buzz is there and he gets happy, but Buzz is ticked. He is not happy. It wasn't a big mistake though. You did it on purpose. Revenge not being an idea they promote. But we're not on my planet. So good. Fight scene. Outside the car. Roll under the car. Toys fighting is hilarious. It's actively hilarious. Being punched. Woody's head. This is my favorite part. Here in just a second. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Lightyear to the rescue. I can't imagine what's happening in their brain. A113, the tag on the back of Andy's mom's car. It's a good little Easter egg there. But I can't imagine just like being a lost toy is such a big thing in Toy Story 4, like you just mentioned. And yeah, it's just a big deal. And for it to be such a big plot point of the fourth one, I guess that is a good thing that they're connecting a lot of things now that I'm looking for it and I'm actively trying to see it. I wonder if all toys have this, like, existential crisis, or if it's just the Buzz Lightyears. It's an interesting thought. Like, what about the programming is so stuck on being a Space Ranger? when like Woody doesn't even know his past. He doesn't even know what he's doing. It's interesting. Woody is just fed up. You are a toy. Such a good scene there. Like, that is the scene. He does the little Spock sign there. I can't think of what it's called. Pizza Planet truck. It's iconic. Like, if I cared about cars even a little bit, I would, like, maybe try to go and get an actual Pizza Planet truck and see if I could decorate it up, because I think that would be hilarious. So the crux of the rest of the movie is that Woody can't go back into the room without bringing Buzz, but Buzz doesn't want to go back. Pizza Planet being what it is. I wonder if Pizza Planet and the Buzz movie, the Lightyear movie, is connected at all, or if they're just like completely separate. Buzz going to the front is hilarious. No restraining harnesses in the cargo area. Woody, duh. So funny. The back of the Pizza Planet truck saying yo instead of Toyota is really funny. I would love an actual Pizza Planet. They seem fun, like an arcade and pizza place, like a Mr. Gaddy's or a thing like that is pretty good. It's really funny. And of course, Woody being having the worst ride of his life and Buzz having one of the best is pretty funny too. The world building of Pizza Planet is spot on. So good. It's guarded. Them hiding in the cups and the burger thing there. Which, why does Pizza Planet have burgers? Do one thing, Pizza Planet. Be good at pizza. Don't overextend yourselves. I'm kidding. Like, isn't that just the coolest looking arcade ever? It's actually not even that big of a room, but it's really cool. I'm sure I would have loved that as a kid. Or even as an adult. The alien slime. Drink, whack an alien. Like, all of them have to do about space themed, which is pretty cool. Like, for an arcade that is space themed, for have all machines and toys that have that are space themed. Hyperactive hyperdrive. It's crazy how many things like that seemed so inconsequential in this movie are so vital to the whole series. Like, these little aliens weren't like a super big deal, but because of the rest of the movies, these little characters have kind of taken on the world of all their own as well. Green eyes, blue jackets, little antenna. So good. Claw machines are so, like, frustrating. Because if they were purely just skill, like, they'd be pretty fun, but obviously they're meant to be manipulative. The aliens really, really enjoying the claw is pretty funny, too, though. Of course Sid's here. Their obsession with the claw is actively so funny. And of course he gets the one little toy that reveals that there's a Buzz Lightyear in there. So, like, he's really excited about that. Obviously it's like a hit toy. But in Toy Story 2, they're like a dime a dozen. So, like, is it a rare cool toy or is it a dime a dozen? I wonder if, like, there was a time when it was super sought after and no one could get one, but then at some point they just started making so many of them that there was just, like, they made too many, I guess I should say. Sid has to be the luckiest kid ever to win two prizes on one claw machine. This has got to be terrifying as well, like knowing you're going back to Sid's house. But it is kind of funny how things work out. Like, obviously they could have been left at Pizza Planet. Like, what if they never would have made it to Andy, but they were brought home by Sid, which brought them right next door. Scud. Poor alien. Here in just a second. Like, I wonder what Sid's parents are like. Like, what is the dynamic? Like, Hannah seems relatively okay. Obviously scarred by her brother, but what is the parenting that goes on in this house? Obviously not much. I guess we get a glimpse into Sid's dad later on in the movie. Let's keep a tab on that and see. Just ultimately so scary. Like, what parent lets their kid, like, just tear apart toys that they paid for and, like, put them on things? Like, I wonder if this is something that they're proud of or if this is, like, terrifying for them. Or is it like the inmates are running the asylum type of thing? I mean, it's fairly creative, like, genuinely creative to be able to do that, to, like, know what it takes to take the head off of a toy and put it on another toy, to combine them in a way that, like, to do that is so weird. Granted. But it's creative. And so Sid's definitely a creative kid. I do like the switch up. I can't remember if it's here or if it's later, but I do like the switch up of these toys being absolutely terrifying. Obviously, that one is kind of the ringleader, the little baby head on the claw. But, like, them being the good guys, and I think there's something to that. I think it adds a little bit to Woody's lesson here. This is actually terrifying. This is probably why my daughter doesn't like Toy Story 1 at this point. And I don't know if she could handle all this. I remember at 5, though. This was definitely my favorite movie when I was at 5. Buzz being glow in the dark is a nice touch as well. Like, I don't think about that, but obviously in this scene he's kind of glowing there. It looks like they're being not nice, but they're actually helping. Buzz is still just like so oblivious and so ridiculous. Like, who's Whiskers? Is Whiskers like the community cat? Is Whiskers their cat? Is Whiskers Sid's cat? Like, how do they know the name Whiskers? Because you don't hear or see a cat in the rest of the movies. Andy's mom's brutal. Pretty sure they're there. You're just not looking hard enough. Ouch. Sure, we've all heard that before. The kid lost two toys in like a few minute span. That's got to be tough on him. This interrogation scene by Sid here. Now, earlier I said that he was creative. He's definitely mean. He's definitely not nice. But he's not necessarily the villain. He's just a foil to the toys. I guess you could consider him a villain. I don't know. So the mom at least is feeding him Pop-Tarts. I can't remember. How long does the little spot on his forehead stay? Is that part of the second movie? Does it get fixed in the second movie? Those toys are out there. But still trying with the laser. Oh, having karate chop action definitely adds to the level of toy that is Buzz Lightyear, for sure. Scott is a terrifying dog. It's definitely a quotable movie. Like, there's so many different quotes and things like that. Now, I mentioned the interior of Andy's house earlier, but this green and yellow pattern of wallpaper is definitely something. Definitely 90s. It definitely screams 90s. Gotta get this train wagon moving. That's such a weird statement for him. I think this is definitely the scene where Buzz loses himself a little bit, obviously because of what happens next. But seeing the commercial, see, there's Sid's dad, and like I said, we hear the mom. We don't necessarily ever see the mom, but we see kind of what Sid's dad's doing, which is kind of sad because seems like he possibly could be a deadbeat dad. Maybe he's just kind of relaxing, taking a nap and stuff, but he's kind of in his own little bro room type place, and he has the deer on the wall. There's trash everywhere, cans everywhere. I'm a little worried that Sid doesn't have the best father figure, and so maybe that's kind of led to kind of some of his stuff. This has got to be tough on Buzz, though. Like, he obviously loses himself and kind of goes into a pretty dark toy, not a flying toy. And so I do love the Owl's Toy Barn right now in Toy Story 1. I love how much, like, obviously it wasn't like foreshadowing or anything like that, but they took the things that they did, the things that, like I said earlier, seemed small but were actually kind of important, and made them important, like the aliens, like Al's Toy Barn, like different things. I low-key think that this song might be my favorite from this movie. Obviously, You Got a Friend in Me is super iconic, and it is what it is, but like, this movie or this song in the movie's context is probably my favorite, because like he's realized that, okay, maybe I am a toy, but like wants to fight that because he's like having to deal with like who he is and what he has thought that his whole life was about and what he was. And so like he's like, no, I can fly, like I can do this, and I'm going to try, and I'm going to fly out that window, and I'm going to leave Sid's house, and I'm going to go back to Andy's, and I'm going to be the space ranger that I think I am. And everything crumbles right here when he is just the toy, and he falls, and he goes down, and he cannot fly, and ultimately he breaks. It's got to be a low moment. And like, obviously he's driven insane and he becomes Mrs. Nesbitt here in a second, but I love that song and just kind of what it means, and like, no, I can do this, but he just can't. And I think that's kind of what Toy Story 1 is all about, is like, it's not about clinging to who we were, but it's trying to figure out who we can become and how the life we're trying to live now is ultimately better than the life that we had created for ourselves. Molly taking over and still being somewhat of a reasonable kid, even though she's having tea party with a one-armed Buzz Lightyear and dolls that have no heads. So sad. Like, literally all three of those dolls do not have heads. He's, like, delusional at this point. But they can still talk. That's weird. How can they talk if they don't have heads? The toy world is so strange. Nesbitt. He's like delusional. But to hit a wall like that, I mean, you can't blame the guy. Okay, maybe you can. But see, that's what I'm talking about. Like, Rex was screaming out the window to where the cat could at least hear him. But now they can't, like, Woody just said, shh. And so, like, what is the volume that the toys talk at? And can it be heard by humans in every setting? Because, like, if they're talking loud in a house that there are other people, like... I just have so many questions about this fictional world that doesn't actually really exist. There's Woody. The scene is fun. Them kind of screaming across the windows here. Buzz wants nothing to do with it. Buzz playing spaceship with his arm. My goodness. The use of Christmas lights and things that they use to help out other toys throughout the series is pretty good. Mentioning the scuffs on Sid's window is interesting and real. Mr. Potato Head being the voice of reason, or the voice of petty, I guess. Buzz, like, completely taking off the stickers and everything out of his thing. He has completely lost it. It's a low moment. Sometimes he... give me a hand. It's pretty funny. Throws his arm. But, like, to have the Buzz that we have through the rest of the movies, it's important that he had that moment to know that he's a toy. But that's not a bad thing. It's actually what can give him purpose in life. And place, as we talked about earlier. place to belong. Woody's pretty smart trying to use his hand and on the side. Slinky Doug's a good pal. I like Slinky Doug. He just pulls the arm out. So funny. Rex is a mess. Now, some of the posters in the room behind him, we actually see in Monsters, Inc., which is kind of cool, implying that potentially Sid might have a monster, which is interesting. It's pretty sad when even Slinky has to kind of go with the crowd and not believe that Woody is on the up and up. Obviously, Slinky's kind of Woody's most trusted friend, but do you think Woody is protecting Buzz in this moment because he cares about Buzz, or if he's only caring about himself? I think Woody's problem in this whole movie is he only cares about himself. And he has to come to with the terms to realize that, like, Andy matters and the other toys matter, not just his playtime, not just his worth, I guess. They're creepy. They're ugly. But they're lovable. They're nice. They're good toys. Uh-oh. Here's the big, big kaboom here. Like, what? How old do we think Sid is? I mean, he's obviously older than Andy. Pretty clearly, I think. But obviously not old enough to have this big, the big one, as it says. Can you imagine had all of this worked and just like these toys are just gone because Sid blew them up? Obviously we wouldn't have the movies, but could you imagine? Uh-oh, there goes Buzz Lightyear. Yikes. Kid's got like industrial strength tape. He's got a full toolbox. Like, what? These parents are super negligible, if nothing else. Megadork was the sign behind him. It looks like a band, maybe. That sounds like a band that I think Sid would listen to. Megadork. Like, had it not rained, Buzz would potentially have blown up. Like, that's kind of the story. That's kind of what would have happened. So all the bags are packed. It must be the night before they're about to move is kind of what I have gathered. Poor Andy's. See, now Andy's got Woody's or Jesse's hat, but got the cowboy hat there. Like, obviously there's parts of Andy that wanted to keep Woody. And you got to think, like, the time lapse of the earlier music makes you think that, like, oh, like, Woody's getting, like, super neglected. But he's not. Like, it's only a week. Like, this whole movie only takes place over a week. Like, there was only a week of time that where Woody was not getting played with. And this is the lengths that he goes to try and take out Buzz. Woody's not. It's kind of frustrating to see Woody not be super nice to the people that are not playing with him, I guess. This is a good scene, though. These two actually having a conversation and, like, actually talking on the same level. Neither one had been on the same level until now. Like, obviously, Woody was jealous, and Buzz thought he was a space ranger. But now they can talk toy to toy, and they can actually communicate, one, what Buzz thinks is special about him, and what Woody says special about him. And, like, just knowing that the Buzz Lightyear toy is what Andy wants, and it's not Buzz Lightyear the person or Space Ranger. Finding place is my favorite thing about Toy Story 1, and just realizing, even for Woody, though, like, he obviously had a place, but realizing that the place that he had wasn't about what he thought it was about, but it was about being there for the other toys and being there for Woody, or Andy, I'm sorry. I think they're going to make it. Man, that's powerful. Buzz looking at the bottom of the shoe and realizing that the bottom of the shoe, what the bottom of your shoe says about you more than your situation, is what's important. And so, I love it. Thinks that he left him, but he didn't. Because they made a heart to heart. They've connected. It's no longer Buzz and Woody. It's Buzz and Woody. I love it. That's it. It's not even that special, but it's one of my favorite Buzz lines. It's like, there's a kid over there that needs us. Like, there is, like, he's realized what his purpose is and what his place is. So good. Like, the moving van just pulled in. How many boxes do they have if here in a second they're chasing after? It's kind of an interesting thought. I hadn't really necessarily even thought about. Can toys get hurt? I mean, I guess you can survive without a head. So there's that. They're stuck. I heart explosives. This kid is delusional. Of course, Scud has got to mess everything up. I think that's one of Andy's best, or not Andy, I keep mixing that up. I apologize for that. One of Woody's best traits is being able to kind of rally the troops and get everyone to kind of be on board with him in some ways. So I really like that leadership quality about Woody. Something that draw me to him then and something that draws him to me still. And I wonder if the baby claw thing is kind of the leader of Sid's room and does the same thing. I see similarities for them. And so, see, there's the rules things. Like, break some of the rules. What are the rules that they have to break? Who set these rules? Who tells them that they have to have these rules? I'm sure Andy's mom could not have liked having Sid and that family as next door neighbors. That might be the part of the reason why they're moving. It's kind of funny. to think about. I like Roller Bob, the little guy on the skateboard. Woody obviously comes up with a pretty good plan here, and these guys definitely execute it. It's kind of fun to watch the toys come up with plans and then execute those plans and just see how it messes with Sid's family here, and especially Sid. And I love the "no toy left behind" mantra that Woody kind of goes with throughout the series. Until the fourth one, of course, which is its own thing. We'll talk about that more when we get there, I guess. But this kid would use anything to mess with his toys, I think. We got a Pez dispenser. Like, literally just put legs on a fishing pole. I don't even know how some of these toys stay together. Using the doorbell to distract a dog is, like, the ultimate smart guy. Like, they did good on that one, because that's real. Poor Molly in this moment gets, like, trampled by Scud here. Boom! I'd be so mad. And she leaves him outside. That's a big part of it. I don't know if I like the green or the yellow wallpaper that they have there better with the, like, flowers. All right, can they do it? They're getting ready to blow him. Now, what Woody does here in a minute is probably the creepiest thing that I could imagine happening to me. Like, obviously, we know that you're not allowed to talk to toys and stuff like that, but let's see what they do. See, I'm sure stuff like that happens all the time in this universe. Like, what, how did you get here? Oh, it must be some, like, they must make excuses, because, like, the toys obviously don't go back to the exact spot that they are in. All right. Like, literally terrifying. I'm sure Sid was not right for a long time. If his parents were not neglecting him, potentially, I'm sure that he would have had to go to therapy. If the guy at the end of the, or at the beginning of the third movie, the trash guy, is Sid, I'm pretty sure that guy definitely had therapy at some point. My goodness, all the toys come into life and walking towards him. This kid's gotta be scarred. I mean, he kind of deserves it, but, like, I think that's the worst one. The one with the nail through his head. Little alien. Forgot that he came out. Ugh. I think it's worse because it's all the toys that he has completely destroyed are coming back and, like, attacking him. This movie's kind of creepy. A lot more creepier than I remember it being. There's no way that it's as nice as the other ones, for sure. Molly at least has something over Sid now. It's like the first time that she's ever had something over her brother. All right. It's a good scene, too. Pretty much the rest of the movie is so good. Like, the chase scene. I wonder if they could rip the tape off or if that was just not really an option. It was too strong. No toy left behind. I love it. Too late, though. But there's the moving truck. It's kind of funny that, like, one of the things that I find most iconic about Buzz from this movie is the rocket that he has on him, which he doesn't really have in any of the other movies, but, like, just seeing them have a rocket on him and, like, seeing that picture of him with the rocket, it's kind of iconic, even though it's only in this one movie. That darn Scud causes so many problems for him. Also, like, can you imagine the drama caused by Scud here in a minute? Is he starting to rip him? That might be part of why he's ripped in the last movie, is because of Scud. It's kind of interesting to think about. The other toys got to be flipping out. Like, they're just riding in the truck, and then all of a sudden, they see Woody, who they've been, like, kind of fighting with for the last week and a half. Or, like, the last week, rather. He comes and tries to steal another toy. I guess in their defense, it is kind of kind of traumatic, I'm sure. Toys and more toys. That box had more toys. I'm sure Andy had a lot of toys, toy boxes in this truck here. Just pushes them off again. I love it. This scene is so iconic too. The, like, rushing on the RC car. Like, the sheer amount of, like, quickness that this RC car has is pretty legit. That's a pretty legit RC car, if I do say so myself. Like, it can outrun a dog. That's pretty impressive. Surprised that the toys can do all of this. Like, I'm sure there's cars that are like, whoa, why is that truck have the back open? There's no way that they wouldn't have been honking and like, be like, hey, your back's open. But I guess they didn't. The amount of car wrecks that are caused by the Toy Story, like this one I remember, and then Toy Story 2, the cones cause a whole bunch of car wrecks as well. Like, that's real lives being impacted because of these talking, walking toys that are just trying to, like, stay together. Why was that car honking? Like, that's so funny and weird. Like, outspeeding this car is ridiculous on the RC car. And that was without turbo. He just turned turbo on. It's wild. So funny. How can Lenny talk? Like, he's the one that says, there's Woody and Buzz. It's a pretty good Rex line. Great, now I have guilt. It's pretty funny. It's pretty sad, some of the, like, smaller side characters that they lose from, I guess, 2 to 3 more specifically, but it's pretty iconic scene, too, with Slinky. Also, this would completely and utterly destroy this Slinky dog. Like, there would be no parts of the Slinky dog that are left. He would be donezo. One of my least favorite toys for kids is the plastic Slinkies, because, like, they break so easily. Also, why is Molly sitting in the front seat? What is that about? Did I just see that wrong? Because that is totally not a thing. Was that a thing back in, like, the 90s, I guess? Dunzo. It's a pretty low moment for him, too. They have no clue. And it gets blown out by the car. But the idea to, like, set the rocket off is not smart, because it's not like it's literally just a bomb, which, I mean, I guess it does blow up, but still. Woody gets his hand burnt too. It's pretty funny. Getting burnt in the face actually led them to actually getting back to Andy. Like, how high, like, if it was literally just going up, how high would this rocket have went? Because they go a long way. Just, like, zooming, man. Start lifting off. I guess Buzz can fly, huh? And RC car made it back. So good. The wings make it go off. It explodes, but they're falling. Or are they? Super, super duper unrealistic. Like, those toys would have landed on the ground. But who cares? It's Pixar magic. I'm literally smiling. This is so good. Such an iconic, frame, I guess it's called. Like, to see Woody with his hands out flying. Gonna go and get with Andy. Yes, Molly's in the front seat. What is that about? They were here the whole time is the most ridiculous thing ever. So funny. I really gotta know what Andy's mom does for a living to be able to afford the houses that she's in. Like, she is... There's the army men again. This time for Christmas. So good. But they're pretty chill now. I do like that Rex finally gets his other dinosaur in Toy Story 3 and 4. Mrs. Potato Head. I didn't realize that, but it's actually Molly's present. I wonder if Mrs. Potato Head has, like, the letters on underneath her feet. I do like the touch of the Woody and Buzz blanket or pillows, but the Buzz comforter, it's pretty good. It's a nice touch. The Woody sign, the cowboy sign. A puppy. So good. After they had to fight with Scud there. And that's it. That's Toy Story, man. It's honestly, like, such a joy to go back and watch this movie. Like, there's so many good things. There's so many fun, extremely fun moments. And I can't wait to keep watching these movies. There's just so much good that I'll be able to talk through and just kind of explain my thoughts about why I like them and what I'm thinking when I'm watching a movie. And so hopefully this first one was really awesome for you guys and that you really enjoyed it. I absolutely loved talking through this first movie, and I can't wait to do more of these potentially and be able to kind of up the ante and keep talking about what makes these movies special to me. And I'd love to hear different things about why these movies are so special to you. And so if you have anything about Toy Story that you want to kind of talk about, I would love to hear that. And so that'll be kind of it on this first commentary track of Toy Story. Let me know. Any feedback would be greatly appreciated. Also, I wanted to say, if you are listening, we would love five stars. If you like Lamp Stomp and you want more people to hear it, that's the best way to do that. You can do that on Apple Podcasts. I think you can do that on Spotify. So we would love to hear and see your five-star ratings for that. And so I think I'm going to just kind of end it there. I've talked about Toy Story a whole bunch so far. And so I can't wait to do Toy Story 2 next. Like I said, we're doing the pods. And so the next movie that I'll be doing a commentary for will be Toy Story 2. And so I can't wait to hear what you guys think about the first one. And I can't wait to give you my thoughts about the second one here in a few days. All right. Peace out. It's been real. Lamp Stomp. Out.